Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thursday Night Football Preview brought to you by the new 2018 Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. And he's here to preview the game tomorrow night, which he's going to call. That's the Steelers and the Titans. And a multitude of other things. He was doing the Rams game this past weekend, so he got to call the 94-yard touchdown. Hope it was a good one. And also he's got the Giants and the Chiefs coming up this Sunday. The Giants are awful. The Chiefs need to get a win. And that's Ian Eagle. What's up there, Ryan? How are you, Birdman?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, man. By the way, how many Bills games have you done this year? One or two?
I have done one Bills game. That was the Thursday night game against the Jets, which was the beginning of what has now been a downfall. For this to change as rapidly as it has, at the time I did the game with Boomer Esiason, we were singing the praises of Tyrod Taylor, the way he's run the offense, the way he's been efficient, the fact that it has been a nice fit in Buffalo, and then here we are just a few weeks later, and major changes are happening.
Yeah.
And a transformation.
True, and the impetus probably a little, maybe even a little less in the Jets game was the 47-10 wax job that the Saints laid on them. That's the kind of game that's just so dispiriting for a fan base that, boy, they deserve better. Listen, Tyrod Taylor's obviously a functional quarterback, but, I mean, what do you know about Peterman, or are you stunned that McDermott has changed this midseason when they still have a chance to do something special here? What's your thoughts?
No, not stunned, only because I don't think this current regime was married to anybody from the previous regime. They basically made it clear that they were starting from fresh, and if anything, it was more of a surprise that Tyrod Taylor had maintained his job. But with that said, I felt that he was playing at a high enough level to keep the gig. To have this happen only a few weeks later, that part of it is surprising. But I can't say I'm shocked that Sean McDermott's willing to make changes, because you look at the roster, they've turned that roster over. It's a bunch of new faces, and the Darius trade further validates and cements the fact that they're moving on. They're not standing pat. If something's not working, they'll do something about it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, though, Ian, to rebuild while you're still sitting above 500 and are currently sixth in the AFC and currently in the postseason. I mean, it's got to be an odd emotional feeling in that locker room if you really think about it.
Yeah, and I think there are people, including myself, that were really shocked that they were a factor, that they were competitive, that they were above 500 and in position to maybe be a legitimate playoff team. So I wonder, within the confines of their facility, if that took them by surprise as well and threw off their original game plan, and now they might be going back to their philosophy, which is, hey, we got to figure out who's going to be a part of this as we move forward. They made serious changes. Culturally, they made changes. Sean McDermott from Rex Ryan is about a 180 from what you're looking for from your team. Ryan was loosey-goosey, and Sean is not. He's more buttoned up. He's going to have things a certain way, and I think maybe this is a sign of, hey, we're going to find out if we've got something in Peterman, or if we've got to address this during the offseason.
Yeah, in the draft. Good stuff. Ian Eagle with us here, Tiki and Tierney. Weekly spots, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Tennessee and Pittsburgh tomorrow. He's going to be on the call.
Yeah, you know, this Thursday night game, Ian, with the Steelers and the Titans, obviously it's about the players, and I guess Tennessee should be excited because Delanie Walker, who was all everything tight end last year, is finally going to come back. It feels like health is coming back on their side. And a lot of this will be about the coaching, though. And we know where Mike Tomlin is. He'll be there forever, at least until he decides not to, because that's just how the Steelers do this. But Malarkey on the other side, there's some questions about whether or not, and a lot of it from BT, whether or not he's the guy for the future of this Tennessee team. What is the prevailing thought about him as a coach, and more importantly, his development of Marcus Mariota and where this offense is currently headed?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I don't think he fits into the high-profile nature of some of the coaches around the NFL. Certainly, the teams that are considered playoff-worthy normally have a coach that either had some sizzle, was a hot shot coordinator that got hired or has been there for a while and established credibility. Malarkey's previous stops, one of them being Buffalo, Jacksonville being the other, were not well thought of because they eventually would lead to a lot of losses. And I think he was a bit of a surprise to get the job when they made the move, and he was an interim, and then a bit of a surprise when he kept the job. But they felt that things were going in the right direction with Mariota. The numbers are not there this year. Yes, you pointed it out. They have a winning record. They have won four straight. The four-game winning streak has come against Cleveland and Indy and Baltimore and Cincinnati, a combined 10-27 record. So I don't ever fault a team for beating who's on your schedule. That's your schedule. Go out, win the games. But you're going to get these litmus test games along the way, and I think that's why these narratives pop up with Malarkey. This is a big game for Tennessee, a huge game in my mind to show the rest of the league where they stand. Are they a team that can truly be a player in this, or are they going to be teetering and it may come down to that final week against Jacksonville? With Malarkey, I would tend to agree that if this team doesn't make the playoffs, if they don't show legitimate progress, then his name's going to pop up because he just doesn't have quite the sizzle of the other coaches that normally maintain the job long term in this league.
Yeah, we're on the same page. You know, with the Steelers here, Ian, and I was watching a, you know, a decent chunk, I'm not really sure why, of the Colts game, and it was boring. I mean, here the Colts, they jump out, they score quick 10 points, they're up 10-3. I'm saying, all right, Pittsburgh's going to step on them the final 30 minutes or whatever and just, you know, kind of run them out of the stadium. And 2 minutes into the third quarter, bang, 61-yard touchdown, and you look up at 17-3. Colts are beating the Steelers. I know that the Steelers had great moxie in coming back and winning that game, and I know that it's dangerous to grade wins because in this league, it's not easy to get them. But there's just something a little bit off with Pittsburgh, too. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I think they were supposed to be dynamic on offense, and that's our general feeling of this transition period for the Steelers. They were known more as a defensive team when Mike Tomlin took over and then timely offense when necessary. But with Todd Haley and Roethlisberger, the numbers were very prodigious in recent years. So the assumption was that, all right, this team can go out and score with anybody. That's not how they're winning games. They're one of five teams in the NFL this year that has not scored 30 points in a game. And let me give you the other teams.
Go ahead.
Because this is not a list that you would want to be associated
go
with.
Ahead, go ahead.
It's Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
It's the Giants.
Oof.
It's Chicago.
Yikes.
And it's the Chargers. So Pittsburgh
Chargers
is
a little surprising, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A little surprising, Chargers.
We just assume that the Steelers would be humming on offense. And their yard totals are still good. They're just not scoring a lot. And Roethlisberger, he himself said somewhere along the way that he's been a bit off. And people took that as well, maybe this is it. Maybe Ben finally has decided that he wants to wrap up his career at some point. I don't want to go that far. I think it goes up and down with him. This week in particular, and you just mentioned it, BT, a win is a win in this league. Mm-hmm. And they were questioned in Pittsburgh by the media locally and by fans that it was not the best of wins. And what's wrong? And what's the problem? And Roethlisberger came out and basically said, like, hey, a win's a win. Just accept it for what it is, and we're going to figure out what we need to figure out within our structure.
Although I would like to tell Big Ben, when it's a 10-point spread and you win by three, that doesn't help me. But yeah, I mean, just for the record, I mean, it might be a win for him. It ain't a win for me.
Played a role. That may have played a role. They've won four straight games, so they're doing what they're supposed to do. They just might not be doing it the way that we thought they were going to do it. Now, meanwhile, defensively, they're number two in the NFL in team defense. They're number two in scoring defense. And while Dick LeBeau got an incredible amount of credit, and rightfully so, during his years with the Steelers running that defense, Keith Butler, who got a lot of criticism the last couple of years, deserves now to get some of those plaudits because that unit is playing at a high level. They are getting to the quarterback. They have 29 sacks this season, although they don't have one particular guy that strikes the fear in you as a pass rusher. They're doing it as a team. And now they got to deal with an injury. Joe Hayden broke his leg, so Cody Sensabaugh, who's bounced around a bit, is going to step in that spot.
Hey, Ian, we have about a minute and a half here, but you have the Giants hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have lost three of their last four, Pittsburgh, Oakland, and Dallas they lost, so they beat Denver a couple weeks ago. But they're playing the Giants. This kind of needs to be their get-right game. What have you been able to see and identify is the issue with their run game? Because that was the catalyst for the points and the consistency early on. But Hunt's been bottled up the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you could speak on this a lot better than I can, the rookie wall. I'm sensing maybe he's hit that. I know it's fictitious in many circles, but I do think for some guys, considering the wear and tear that he was putting on his body through the first 5-6 weeks of the year, he was a workhorse for them. Not just in the run game, but in the pass game as well. And I wonder if maybe it's caught up to him a bit. That's been the major difference. Defensively, there have been some issues and a couple of leaks. They were better early in the season through the first 5 weeks. But the run game, it's blatant. The numbers don't lie on that front. They're just not getting the same kind of push, and they're not getting the same pop from Kareem Hunt. Alex Smith is still not making mistakes, and his numbers are across the board impressive. They have four turnovers as a team. Four.
That's amazing. Yeah, that is wow.
Fewest in the NFL. That's through amazing. Nine games. Those are unheard of numbers.
That really is amazing. Hunt, .148 week one, 81 in week two, 172, 101, and then 107. The last 4 weeks, 21, 87, 46, 37. And they don't stop the run either, so they got to kind of bottle that up. All right, we got to bounce. 10 seconds here. You had a 94-yard touchdown call. Jared Goff, you've been doing this for a long time. Is that the longest in your career in the NFL? It's got to be, right?
Ooh, wow, that's a great question. I may have had a 96-yarder somewhere in there. I mean, this is 20 years, so I would have to go through the files. I think I may have had a 96-yarder. Something seems to resonate with me with that number.
Okay. A little random. I mean, you're not saying 95. You're not saying 97. So, I mean, you're jumping on 96.
Obviously. Something is sticking in my head, but you know, I there's so many names and numbers and teams and years. It's all just melding together
into one big paycheck.
I hear you.
I hear you. Ian, great work, buddy. Have a good time tomorrow night, and obviously do your thing against with the Chiefs and the Giants on Sunday.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, pal. We'll be watching and listening tomorrow. There you go. Thursday Night Football Preview brought to you by the new 2018 Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar. It is the bar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.